Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you and yours as we come to you from the well, Bon Secours Wellness Arena in downtown Greenville. It is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. We come to you from the home opener of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the ECHL affiliate of the Carolina Hurricanes. Willie P. and Diesel here. We're here until 7 o'clock when puck will drop just a little bit after 7 at 7:05. We'll be very, very much looking forward to this game tonight between the Swamp Rabbits and the Jacksonville Icemen. This is a rematch from the game that took place a couple of nights ago in Jacksonville. They had their home opener down there. Swamp Rabbits spoiled it with a 4-3 overtime victory. And now we come to the coolest place in the upstate, Diesel.
Yeah, it's a little nippy in here, and I can tell because you're wearing a thin shirt.
Is that okay? Why is that? Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. How long were you prepping that line, honestly?
About the last 15 seconds.
Understand it. We have so much to get to you today, not just on the game tonight here in Greenville, but also the games this weekend in college football and the National Football League. We, of course, will be talking a lot about Clemson's game this weekend going up against Louisville on the road.
You mispronounced it as Louisville.
Louisville. I'm sorry.
Louisville.
Clemson's game against Louisville. And, of course, South Carolina hosting Florida, both noon kicks. And, of course, you'll be able to hear the Clemson contest on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. We have a big high school football game to talk about tonight as well between Burns and Dorman. Cole Bryson will join us in the final hour of the program, as he usually does, live from Nixon Field. Region, basically, ramifications going in here with these two ball clubs. And every year they basically are two of the best inside the region. Very, very much looking forward to that. And, of course, also all the other action going on in the upstate we will preview with Cole. Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com as well. Our sports from a Vegas perspective, we're going to do him a little bit later because we are going to try to get some of the members of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. I almost called them the Green Rabbits. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits coaching staff as well as the front office. Staff on in our program, so we're going to try to move Robbie V around here, talk to him a little bit later on in this hour. Also, all the latest from Dabo Swinney and Will Muschamp that you might have missed earlier this week, and of course our non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. We're going to try to do it again, basically half hockey, half football, and everything else that's kind of sprinkled in. Just from the standpoint of where this team is, Diesel, the one thing that we've been imploring to you, who might not necessarily be the biggest hockey experts, is the fact that this team is a much different team than the one that played in this building last year. The affiliation with the Carolina Hurricanes and the secondary affiliation with the Florida Panthers has infused a brand new roster that gives this team more of a chance to compete on the ECHL level. The fact that there's an affiliation behind it will allow them to at least have a kind of representative record and representative team that is personified in this ECHL level. Obviously, this is a team that in this area is starting to gain some notoriety. They had a very big crowd here last year for their home opener. And the one thing, too, Diesel, that I'm looking forward to is I want to see how that affiliation maybe sparks a little bit of tourism here, because I know there are probably a lot of people who are fans of the Carolina Hurricanes who are probably in Charlotte or elsewhere that might not necessarily be able to get to Raleigh for a game. They might just come on down here to Greenville to see the future of their potential hockey team.
Well, sure, and that's what makes Greenville so great. I mean, I can tell you how many people I've talked to, especially, you know, when there's big events on the coast, hurricanes that force people up here. They say, man, I did not know that Greenville was this special. They come to this town and they figure out, man, this is a diamond in the rough. This is a really cool place to be, and hopefully you're right. It will drive some tourism. It'll drive some of these guys that, you know, that are big-time Hurricanes fans to say, hey, these are some of our up and coming stars that are coming up. They've got some of our stars that are sort of on their way back down. That's what makes this level of hockey so special, is that it's young guys coming up, it's veterans kind of coming back down, and you've got players going different directions, and they're mixing and they're melding, and you just get really good hockey. And what better way to come and learn the game of hockey? If you don't know anything about it, come learn hockey in an environment like this. Easy to get to, inexpensive. I think $10 tickets tonight. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing night to get on down here and see some live hockey.
And yeah, we're hoping to pack the well tonight, probably surpass the 10,000 seat limit that we had last year. Very much looking forward to that tonight. Again, this team won the other night 4-3. We had Nathan Perkovich on earlier this week, and it's funny, there are so many different personalities on this roster like his, where, you know, we were talking to him about how he was playing in Croatia and in the KHL, and this is a tough sport to master. And, you know, a lot of times you have older guys down this level who are also kind of playing the role of almost a player coach, kind of like what we see now with some players in the NBA. Vince Carter's doing that with the Atlanta Hawks, and you're seeing, again, a lot of these guys who might not necessarily be on their way up, and then there's others who are basically big parts of this franchise who will be rising in, and you could say you saw them when they were here in Greenville.
Yeah, tonight's going to be a really, really fun night. I caught one of the Swamp Rabbits reps on the news this morning. They're also doing an egg hunt in the building. So there's going to be eggs hidden all over the place under seats everywhere that have some really special prizes, like concert tickets. We're sitting here watching these TVs blast off all the different shows they've got coming up. Some really great stuff happening here at Bonscore Wellness Arena. And you can score that stuff just by showing up.
And there are a lot of people who are hiding some of those eggs. We might actually have one here inside our little broadcast position here right around Section 120, Section 121. If you're coming out to the arena tonight, come by and see us. We'll be here until 7. The gates open again at 6 o'clock. Of course, this weekend, the football will be full and center stage here on Saturday. We'll start with Clemson, who takes on Louisville as they get ready for this game on Saturday at what used to be called the Papa John's Stadium in Louisville. What used to be called the Papa John's.
It ought to be called the Pink Palace, because those red seats have not aged very well.
They certainly haven't. Well, the one thing that has aged well is the fact that this is a team in Louisville that, quite honestly, is a different team than it was a year ago, at least from a leadership standpoint. Scott Satterfield has really turned this thing around. He has this team 4-2 through six games. And the one thing that we keep talking about with Dabo Swinney and this squad is that all of their, at least the majority of their division opponents, all right in a row, five of the six of them basically all stacked in the middle part of their schedule with the Wofford game in between. And Dabo Swinney says they're once again trying to make sure they continue to control their destiny as they try to fight for another Atlantic Division crown.
This is a game where, you know, the division's on the line. They beat us, they control their destiny, but since we beat Florida State, so because that was their one loss in the league. So a 4-2 team lost to Notre Dame, lost at Florida State in a game they could have won. But, you know, with them beating Wake Forest, hey, they're in control if they can find a way to beat us. Same thing for us. You know, we don't want to be at the mercy of somebody losing. We want to be able to stay in control of what we're trying to do, which is win the division. And so this is division playoff football, and it's a best of one. Simple as that. So, you know, we're not a best of four, it's a best of one. And that's the mindset that I want our guys to have, and then just go play well. You know, play well on the road. We've played one really good game on the road and one we didn't play very well. So let's create that consistency in what it's going to take to be able to have the type of season we want to have, because you got to play well on the road if you're going to have a great year.
This is Dabo Swinney speaking earlier this week at his press availability. And I don't know about you, Diesel. I am probably one of the most surprised of any when it comes to just how quickly Scott Satterfield has turned this thing around. Again, I know a lot of that is a discredit to Bob Petrino more than it is a credit to Satterfield. He's maximized this talent. And quite honestly, when you think about the guys who have entered this conference between he and Jeff Collins, he had a much easier job than Collins does, but he is certainly paying some ultimate and immediate dividends.
Well, he's also a guy who's seen a lot of different schemes over his career. I mean, he was running a power eye when he was a quarterback at Appalachian State. He was they were running an option when he was the offensive coordinator under Jerry Moore, and then he shifted to more of a zone read run offense over his 5 or 6 years when he was the head man there in Boone. So he's done a lot. He's seen a lot of different things. And, you know, he should be able to adjust to his personnel much more easily than some of these guys who maybe have been sort of in the same system their entire careers.
Of course, Mikael Cunningham is the projected starter at quarterback. They have been kind of tinkering with possibly using multiple quarterbacks after Cunningham went down last week. Of course, Juwan Puma-Pass was the guy who looked like he was going to be the starter in the year. Of course, he ended up injuring himself earlier in the season. Also, Evan Conley is the guy who came in replace of Cunningham. Cunningham is a guy who can be a little bit mobile. They do love to run the football. This is a team led by Javian Hawkins who likes to run it, and the Cardinals will try to dictate stuff on the ground. We saw last week, Diesel, 62-59 victory for Louisville over Wake Forest. They dethroned the only other undefeated team in the conference, at least overall. And because of that, that makes, I think, a lot of people, at least as much as Clemson fans, kind of perk up and they say, okay, they're aware of this team. This is no fluke.
Well, you know, you don't score 62 points if you're inept offensively. You give up 59 points if you're a little bit inept defensively. So I could certainly see Louisville giving up a lot of points. I don't see them scoring any. I don't see them scoring half of that, 31 on Clemson. That's not going to happen. So I don't think Clemson struggles too much with this game. I think Louisville will find some success. I think they'll put up 21, 24 points.
Of course, on the other side, South Carolina taking on Florida. This is a game that It remains for me impossible to peg because of the fact that, number one, you have the unpredictability of the weather. We've been told that this tropical cyclone that's coming in from the Gulf is going to impact the entire Southeast, Atlanta, Greenville, Columbia, all in kind of its path. So that part of it is unpredictable. We don't know how much of a factor the rain will be at Williams-Brice and what effect that will have on either offense. And it's not as if these teams, either of them, have been prolific offensively. I know that Florida was able to do their work against LSU, but LSU's defense we've seen over the course of this season, despite how much they've paid defensive coordinator Dave Aranda, he's the highest paid defensive coordinator, even more highly paid than Brent Venables, they basically have punted on their defense, pardon the pun, and Florida was able to do some work against them. We'll see whether or not South Carolina will be able to do the same against Florida, or whether or not this will be the defensive struggle that many believe it will be. The one thing, though, from Will Muschamp, is there is that connection, and as he becomes a little bit more detached from his time with the Gators, he was asked earlier this week if playing Florida gets any easier from a familiarity standpoint as he distances himself from the time he spent with the Gators.
No, because they got a good team. you know, again, it is what it is. I got three brothers down there. Tommy's the punter's. I coached his brother Johnny and the Townsend family, and then you got Marco. We coached Quincy. And I remember sitting in the living room there with Chad and Carmen down in South Florida, and Marco was about that tall in the living room there. And they've got all their athleticism from Carmen, not the dad, Chad, that's for sure. He played at Miami. And then Frankie Hammond, Josh's brother, what a great play in 2012. We're up there at Knoxville, and Jeff threw a curl right there to Frankie and broke two tackles and took it about 65 yards for a touchdown. Huge win for us. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, I had a wonderful experience there, but I'm glad we're at South Carolina and looking forward to game day. They got a good team, so it's always hard.
That is Will Muschamp speaking about the Florida Gators this weekend and the team that teams that he had when he was at Florida. Of course, Felipe Franks no longer a part of the starting quarterback situation. It's Kyle Trask and Emory Jones. They use multiple quarterbacks. They're not shy about it. I don't know how you feel, Diesel. This is one that I've been very, very just hard-pressed to kind of really find the edge and where the side is there.
You know, I need to see South Carolina do it more than 1 week. They played out of their minds. I think they played probably 25% to 50% better than any time they've appeared all season long, notwithstanding that was at the Charleston Southern game. So I'm going to need to see South Carolina string a couple of these games together. Until then, I have to look at their performance in Athens as an outlier. Now, again, you go out there and repeat it, then this becomes your new norm.
Certainly so, and because of that, people will be very, very curious to see whether or not the South Carolina team can play the double again. I keep going back to that stat that Gamecock Billy gave us, the fact that it is a 3-1 record over the last 10 seasons when South Carolina has beaten Georgia. That is their record against Florida. So we'll see whether or not the Gamecocks can follow that up and, of course, try to keep this ball rolling here as they go throughout the middle part and last half of their SEC schedule. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line, is at 71307. Put ESPN in the body of your text. Be a part of the program that way. Plenty of stuff to come here from you at the Bonsecours Wellness Arena. We'll talk some Greenville Swamp Rabbits. We'll talk some football. It's all coming right here as Willie P and Diesel continue on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome you back to Bonsecours Wellness Arena in Greenville, home of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Opening night, or home opening night here for the Swamp Rabbits, getting ready to take on the Jacksonville Icemen. We're going to talk a little hockey with the voice of the Swamp Rabbits, Jordan Coons, in a moment, but I understand we have some traffic on the phones, and we will at least allow you to hear that. Steven wants to talk some hockey and talk some puck with us. He joins us next on ESPN Upstate. How are you, Steven?
Hey, I'm good. So I know a lot of people are saying that they don't know a whole lot about hockey, but they're excited to learn. So I got a little hockey lesson for everybody, for you guys and all the listeners. So the Carolina Hurricanes, the NHL affiliate of the Swamp Rabbits, they were founded as the Hartford Whalers and played there, I think it was like the late 90s. The Hartford Whalers had this fight song that they would come out to called Brass Bonanza. I know everybody down here loves. Yeah, everybody loves Tiger Rag. This thing blows that song out of the water. So in honor of opening night, I think you got to play Brass Bonanza for us once on the radio today.
All right. I think that might be able to be arranged. Do you guys use Brass Bonanza in the building, Jordan?
We do not.
Oh, man. You're killing me.
I try.
The one thing, though,
we got to fix that.
The one thing I did learn, and appreciate Stephen for calling and his enthusiasm about hockey. We hope to see you over here at the arena tonight. This franchise originally was the Johnstown Chiefs back in the day. This was, of course, the franchise from the movie Slapshot. So
this is always well before my time.
Yes.
See, I'm learning. I'm learning about hockey every single time Jordan comes on.
And Jordan joins us here, the voice of the Swamp Rabbits, Jordan Coons. Of course, we have a partnership with the Swamp Rabbits, airing a select amount of games on our stations of Entercom. And tonight's game will be on WORD 106.3 FM. We'll have some games as well on ESPN Upstate as well. This is obviously something that is a lot different than last year with the way that this team has gone. You and I talked about it in the Swamp Rabbits report earlier this week. What is the biggest difference about this team this year compared to the one you saw last year?
Well, that was earlier this week. Wow, time flies, doesn't it? Just the competitiveness. You look last week. If there was a game that was behind going into the third period, the Swamp Rabbits only won once. Mm. There were 26, 36 one-goal games, something along those lines. Last weekend, the first game you find a way to win in a game that you found a way to lose all of last year goes a long way. A big part of it being veteran leadership, the contributions of a Nathan Perkovich come to mind, a goal and three assists, had a hand in everything in the scoring last week. A guy like Cedric Lacroix comes through with a shorthanded goal to tie things up. Goaltending, I know he's not a seasoned pro, but Callum Booth got the job done spectacularly last weekend. So, just the competitiveness, the ability to come back in games and seal it up, big difference from last year.
Shot total declined in the middle period, and I know that's something that kind of always happens when you're dealing with the period of the long change. What does this team have to do to play with more cohesion so that maybe they have more consistency throughout three periods?
Yeah, the one thing that definitely stood out to me in the first game, and not only that, but through preseason, was that the attention to detail when going through the line change has to be better. How many grade-A scoring chances have come through because of making an ill-advised change when you have to change when you can in those periods of the long change, not when you should? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are in position to, and it's not the end of your shift, so to speak, sometimes you can get caught. And too many times this team has. So for my money, it comes down to working on practice here the next little while, getting used to that system when you should change up, because it has created some really grade-A scoring chances against.
So for the people who are still, you know, learning about hockey, what does it mean to be an affiliate of a team like the Hurricanes? How does that work? Do they kind of select players that they see that are rising and put them on your roster, or do you actively have to go out and find players who are in the entire system? How does that work?
Right, so the Charlotte Checkers have these players under contract,
which is the AHL affiliate.
That is correct. And if there either is not enough room at the American Hockey League level for them, if they feel that they need more seasoning, if they feel that they need more playing time where they wouldn't get as much in Charlotte, they would send them here for more development. So that's basically it. It is the parent club's decision as to who gets sent down, and basically it is the team's role, our role as the Swamp Rabbits, to give them the platform to continue to develop.
Yeah, the way that I explained it to a lot of people who had questions about it, the way that kind of minor league baseball works, we're basically the AA level right here. Mm-hmm. for the in relation to the National Hockey League. AHL would basically be the AAA, which is the closest to the professional level, and of course the NHL being the equivalent of the MLB, at least on that level. And the thing about this level of hockey too is that you see a lot more of the grittiness, and I think too, you know, when I did minor league baseball, you see hustle all the time, and I think that's something that a lot of times people at the professional level take for granted. You're always going to see hustling because players might know that that next shift or that next particular play that you make can be a breakthrough and can be something that's noticed by somebody in the parent club that could lead to a possible call-up and promotion.
Yeah, and the fact that this is a local kind of thing, like Charlotte's only an hour and a half up the road, so if any of our fans want to see players that are up there or fans of Charlotte that want to come down here and see those players that are down here, that's definitely a part of it. And for my money, this league has come a long way from what it used to be. I was an intern up in Reading 9 years ago, and the level of hockey that we saw then, which was a mess, is nothing compared to what it is now. This is a very comparable level to what you'd see. You know, I would imagine the American Hockey League and the NHL are much faster, I'd say for sure, but when you're looking at a pure standpoint of this is not going to be, if I went to a single A game, I'm just going to see a ton of mistakes. Huge difference here. It's pretty cohesive.
Talking with Jordan Coons, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Again, tickets as low as $10 to get in the door tonight here at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Hoping to see a big crowd here tonight for the opening game of the season, at least at home, for this Swamp Rabbits team that won on the road 4-3 in OT. You mentioned Nathan, who was on our program earlier this week. Who are some other names that folks who might be coming out here for the first time will want to recognize and watch out for when they come in here to the building tonight?
Well, tonight in particular, I'd keep an eye on a guy like Michael Pelech, a guy who's been in the league now for what seems like 10 years. He's old, one of only two players on this team that are older than me. So I'd say Pelech is one. John O'May last year scored 20 goals. Fans will know of him. But some of the new guys, I mean, Perkovic is one of them. I think of a Mason Baptista, an all-situation centerman who can play power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5. Late game face-off situations, and a Cedric Lacroix. I think him in particular is interesting because, as I've learned here in the South, they love players that expend more effort than others. They want the guy that's willing to go for it. And Lacroix is a guy that had 225 penalty minutes but also 22 goals last year. So he's a guy that can do it on both sides.
We like the penalty minutes.
Yeah.
What brand of hockey is it? I mean, is this an offensive-driven league or level? Is this more of a defensive-driven league? Because it's, you know, as a lay fan, it's easier to understand offense. It's easier to understand scoring goals. It's harder to see good defense. Or is it sort of a solid mix of both?
I'd say it's both, but also at the same time, the league – its development system is turning into one where offense is more important now. Anytime you think about what a higher up in these leagues are saying is they want to increase scoring. They will increase overtime to 7 minutes. You can pick whichever face-off dot you want on a power play. These are two little things that they're trying to increase scoring. I mean, if you're on a power play, you get a face-off in the offensive zone. That wasn't a thing a couple of years ago. So really, to your point, I'm looking more at this as a game going more in the goals direction than it is stifling defense direction.
Yeah, the one thing that I think used to be the reputation of this league as, you know, when I lived in Missouri, we had the Missouri Mavericks at the ECHL level, and every time we went to one of those games, I always felt like it was more fights than goals,
yep.
Basically. It was
mm-hmm.
more of a grit type of game.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that now more mirrors the professional product
Definitely.
Now than it ever has.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, these are players that want to move on to the American Hockey League level, which then can move on to the NHL. And, I mean, those numbers are rising ever quickly. But you're exactly right. Like, as I said, this game at this level has changed dramatically. This used to be a place, for lack of better words, as I've put it, this used to be a league where careers went to die.
Right.
This was where someone who was phased out of every facet of pro hockey could come here and fight their way out of it. But now, much different. This is a very, very good product that the ECHL is putting forth now.
Jordan Kunz, who is joining us here, the voice of the Swamp Rabbits. Tell me a little bit about the netminder. We talked a little bit about Callum Booth. What does he bring to the table?
Oh, he is a winner wherever he's been. I mean, I look back when I was doing his bios for the Stat Pack. He had a postseason run with the St. John Sea Dogs, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, where he went 16-1-1 to get the Q title. I mean, he is someone that is a winner. He's come into this league and has about a .700 winning percentage, which is pretty incredible. You're going to see Ryan Bednar in net tonight, but Callum is a guy, and you're seeing that because it's a 3-3. You got to get some rest in there for somebody. But Callum is a guy that's a winner, and he will make those game-saving saves like he did last weekend late.
Bednard, more of a the Ben Bishop type, you know, a taller
yeah,
guy,
massive.
more weight than a guy like Booth. Booth, I almost think like a Chico Resch type of guy. He's only 187,
yeah.
More agile than Mr. Bednard is.
Yeah, Bednard, 6'5". He is definitely the mid-20-teens goaltender that every scout wanted.
Oh, yeah.
They had to be, you know, like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". You see a bunch of them, and he is one of them.
And that's not always a good thing, because a lot of times those guys might lack the agility to be able to go off and make the kind of save that you would need to make, especially if you're sprawling across on a one-timer or something.
They may have more holes, you're right, and that could come down to it, but it comes down to being technical. And Bednard's found a way to forge out a good career himself at Bowling Green. He's the career leader in goals against average and save percentage at Bowling Green State.
Certainly looking forward to the game tonight. I don't know whose idea it was to put me on the broadcast with you tonight. That was not my idea. I'm told that it was Mark Hendricks' brainchild / maybe one of yours. I don't know, but I hope I don't get in your way too much tonight. I appreciate the invite. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
It is going to be a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a great game. I'm looking to kick the snot out of Jacksonville tonight.
Do you want to give me any tips on what it's like to work with me?
Oof.
The silence says all.
Tough skin. You got to have a tough skin.
Wow.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you haven't appreciated the 3 months we've spent together? You mean to tell me?
It's only been 3 months?
It has only been 3 months. It felt longer for you?
A little bit.
Do you have a fact sheet on Jacksonville?
I do not.
Okay.
I need fact sheet. I need game notes. I need the whole darn thing.
Okay.
But I will have that thing memorized by the time I see you at 7 o'clock.
You better believe it.
Jordan Kunz, appreciate the time. Again, that game is on 106.3 WORD later on tonight. Looking forward to that. We'll come back. Robbie V will join us, our usual Friday spot with our Sports from Vegas Perspective Insider next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A little bit later than we usually do it, but it is our time that we usually talk to our good friend Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. He'll bring you sports from a Vegas perspective as we go along and talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of college football. And Robbie V, I think we have to start at one place. That result last week in Athens, South Carolina, and Georgia, surprising to all. How surprising was it to you?
Oh, I think it was extremely surprising, Will, especially when you see Ryan Helinski go down in the third quarter and you just feel like Georgia's going to come back and win that game. And then they, you know, get into a position where they can win it and they don't. So I think it was extremely surprising. A 20-plus point underdog pulls an outright upset on the road. You know, and an underdog that in most people's minds had no business winning the game. So it was, without question, Will, it was a surprising result. And we'll see how that affects Georgia going forward and also how it affects South Carolina going forward. They have a big game this week as well.
They certainly do. And let's start right there. Florida and South Carolina square off. This is a game that is going to have the elements impacting it with potential rain in the forecast. And, of course, that could certainly be something that favors a lower scoring game. I feel like people are going to hammer the under on this contest. How do you feel about it, though, from a side perspective with South Carolina coming in with some momentum after the victory over the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think if you just try to play the situation, Will, first off, I think the situation probably favors the Florida Gators. They showed very well on their end as well at LSU in Baton Rouge last Saturday night. You know, LSU tempo finally wore them down, broke a 28-28 tie late, go on to win 42-28. So divisional battle here, Florida and South Carolina, SEC East, and Florida off the loss, I think is a little more, is in better position to come back this week than South Carolina off of a 21-point outright win. You know, nobody knows how they'll react. Will they, you know, even the head coach, Will Muschamp, who's never been in this position, how do I know how we're going to react? So it's, you know, you hope for the best if you're a South Carolina fan. You hope they're off of cloud nine as players, but you never really know until they take the field in that game. I think the fact that Ryan Helinski is going to go has kept this point spread down. And for those who favor the Florida Gators, you're probably happier laying 4.5 or 5 than you would be laying 7.5 or 8 had Helinski not been able to go here. So I think it's just a matter of how you read the situation. And trying to get into college kids' heads isn't easy, Will. This is not an exact science where, you know, your blanket statement, somebody's in a better position to win than the other team. Who the heck knows? I know it's an important game. I think Florida overall is the better team. We really, you know, like the way that they've played offensively without Felipe Franks. So we'll see how it goes. I haven't played the game. If I had to, you know, somebody told me you have to make a choice, I would probably choose Florida.
You wouldn't touch the number?
You know, the totals come down, Will, as you mentioned. It started 49. It's gone down all the way to 45.5 or 46 right now. So weather's certainly playing a role in the way the money's flowing right now, because it really didn't have much action on that total until within about the last 18 hours. So that's it's certainly something to look at as well.
Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com, joining us here. Sports from a Vegas perspective to Clemson, where they take on a Louisville team that, quite honestly, Robbie, is a lot better than I expected, though Vegas isn't giving Louisville much of a chance to come close. Number opened at 22, and all that's happened since is it's been bet up to 24.5 in a lot of places. What do you think about this Cardinal team to the first year, Scott Satterfield?
Well, certainly it's not a team that's in the mold of Scott Satterfield. If we think the Appalachian State teams that he had coached, you would see more defense. You would see more of a run-oriented offense with play-action pass off of that. I mean, I know they ran with dual-threat quarterbacks down there at Appalachian State when they were most successful. So it's really different than what we would have expected. But give the head coach credit for being able to take the personnel that he was given and find a way to mold it into a competitive football team in the last couple of weeks against two of the lesser defenses inside the ACC, Boston College and Wake Forest. This team's put up 103 points. So certainly offensively they're moving the football. And let's face it, they've gone through quarterbacks here too, Will. I mean, Juwan Pass is out for the year, and it looks like Cunningham and the freshmen have been pretty darn good at, you know, moving this football team. 62-59 last week, as I mentioned, over Wake Forest, a pretty good number. However, that type of stuff all starts and ends when you come up against a defense like Clemson. And I think, you know, the upward movement on the side play here with the Clemson Tigers is all due to the way they came out of the bye week last week and absolutely rampaged through Florida State. So in bettors' minds, they see a Clemson team that is now going to begin playing more like the one that the preseason prognosticators rated either number one or number two in the country. You know, whether or not that continues or not is always up in the air, but I would think it would. They certainly have the personnel. I think when you and I talked last week, I had felt like eventually this wide receiving core and this quarterback, as good as they all are together, have to break out. And you could certainly break out against a Louisville defense. I talk an awful lot about what they're doing offensively, but defensively they're not Scott Satterfield-like either, 460 yards per game allowed. That doesn't bode well against Clemson with that balanced offense. And we know if Clemson gets out on top, you know, generally speaking, they don't let off the gas pedal. So it's a tough game for Louisville, but certainly one they'll be up for. And Clemson has to come with 100% focus in order to go ahead and cover this game. They came with it last week. Let's see if they can do it 2 weeks in a row.
Rob Vino, SportsMemo.com, joining us here. Sports from a Vegas perspective. I want to ask you about this game inside the SEC. Texas A&M and Ole Miss. This is a game where A&M is only favored by 5 or 6. And, again, I know a lot of this has to do with where A&M used to be, or at least where A&M has come to right now. And, obviously, what Ole Miss has done. Ole Miss, very, very good showing on homecoming at Mizzou, although falling short late. Is this a trouble spot for the Aggies?
Well, I think it could be on one hand, and then I'll go over why maybe it wouldn't be on another hand. But let's start with why Ole Miss could be dangerous here, Will. And I think Rich Rodriguez's offense is starting to take hold. And any time, as a defensive coordinator, you have to prepare for two different style quarterbacks. That's difficult during a 7-day period. Mississippi has stumbled upon a two-quarterback system that they interchanged against Mizzou during the same series at times, whether it be John Rhys Plumlee running with his dual threat ability or Matt Corral in that shotgun arm of his. They really worked it to perfection against Mizzou last week, who, in my estimation, is every bit as good of a defense as Texas A&M is. So Mississippi's scored points the last 3 weeks, and it put up 31 on Alabama. That's no joke. Vanderbilt will let slide. They scored 31 there, but we don't want to preach Vanderbilt's defense. But 27 against Mizzou, and they got that last touchdown in order to sneak under the number and get a cover. So I think they're dangerous at this point in time. They've played 6-7 games right now, and it seems as if the offense is starting to go the way Rich Rod would like it. That could be trouble for A&M. However, A&M's difficulty of schedule has been pretty solid. I mean, when you've played Clemson, you've played Auburn, and you've played Alabama, that's three outstanding defenses, and now they'll get to play Mississippi's defense, which isn't anywhere near that class. So I could see A&M moving the football here as well. Kellen Mond and company should have success offensively. I think Missouri had two players last week, Mississippi had two players last week ejected in the second half for targeting, one being a starting middle linebacker for Mississippi, and the two guys, I think the other was a backup defensive end, both will sit the first half in this one, which could open up some things for A&M in the first half as well. And if you're looking to bet the game and you want to just play a situational thing, maybe you take A&M first half. But I think this game's going to score more points than the 55 that were posted here for the total.
I'm going to give my co-host Diesel and do a solid for him. He's going to be in Boone this weekend to see his alma mater, the App State Mountaineers, taking on University of Louisiana Monroe. Opened at 16.5. It's down to 15 in some spots, 14.5 in one other. What kind of game is my man Diesel going to see in his alma mater in Boone?
I think he'll probably see the offensive game that most people thought we were going to see last week during the week when Appalachian State played UL Lafayette. That one turned into somewhat of a defensive slugfest, 17-7. Lafayette's been a good defensive team all season long. I don't believe they've given up over 28 points this year. But for the Mountaineers, they have not been the same defensive team up until that game when it counted most in a, you know, conference game of two elites this year. They came to play, and 17-7, your final score there. But Caleb Evans and company for UL Monroe can move the football on anybody, and I think you'll see more offense this week. Appalachian State liable to carve through the Monroe defense much easier than they were able to do against ULL last week. And I do think the counterpunch will come from Monroe, but it probably isn't enough to keep up, Will. The number at the opener of 16 was probably in a real good place, and I can understand some movement toward UL Monroe because they always have the opportunity in the fourth quarter of that backdoor touchdown. Evans is so good dual threat wise and moving that team that you could be up, you know, 45-24 in the fourth, and they could stick a meaningless one in for 45-31, and you wind up with a cover on Monroe's side. So I wouldn't be surprised at the result either way, but I do think you're going to see some offensive fireworks in that game.
Yeah, Diesel curses Ted Roof, the defensive coordinator for App State, about as much as he curses at traffic. Real quick, Robbie, what's your free play tonight?
You know, I'll stay in the SEC, Will, and I'm going to ride a freight train that just keeps rolling. LSU minus 17.5 against Mississippi State, which has turned into an offensive disaster. Looks like Garrett Schrader's got the nod here at starting quarterback from here on out. But it's still, you know, he quarterbacked three quarters in Auburn, at Auburn, and they lost 56-23. I've talked enough about how I just find these quotes from LSU to be very insightful as far as them not letting off the gas pedal. So I'll take LSU and another route minus the 17.5.
Thanks so much, Robbie. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for having me.
That's Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. We are again at Bon Secours Wellness Arena, Greenville Swamp Rapids home opener. Two big injuries shaking the sports world. We will give you updates on both of those next on ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Once again, here at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena in Greenville, Swamp Rabbits taking on the Jacksonville Icemen tonight. Looking forward to that. We'll talk a little bit more about the game coming up in our next hour. Of course, we'll have it on WORD later on, 106.3 FM, our sister station. The Kansas City Chiefs said that they got the, quote, best case scenario for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. An MRI revealed no damage other than a dislocation in the right kneecap of the Chiefs quarterback after the 30-6 victory over the Denver Broncos, meaning about a three-week timetable for him to come back. Meanwhile, Matt Moore, the former Dolphin backup, has to be the man of the moment for Kansas City when they take on the next part of their schedule here over the next 3 weeks. He says, "I just know what I know," according to Andy Reid. "The kid had an MRI. We don't have all the information. That's all I can give you. The evaluation is ongoing." But again, he will avoid having to miss the rest of the season because of surgery. So because of that, he will only miss about 3 weeks. So good news for Kansas City. The news not so good for Pelicans rookie Zion Williamson of the NBA. Of course, the Spartanburg native avoided a severe injury to his right knee, but he'll miss a period of, quote, weeks to start the season, including the home opener for the New Orleans Pelicans next week. Williamson did not travel to the final preseason game against the Knicks. Instead, stayed back in New Orleans for further testing. That puts a damper on the beginning of the NBA season, and a lot of people who might have wanted to see Zion play his first games in the NBA. Of course, he missed the summer league after that first game that he had with an injury, and has not necessarily shown up as much because, again, they're trying to manage his load, so to speak, and because of that, now he will be out for at least a couple of weeks as he starts his NBA career. So unfortunate news for both Mahomes and Williamson, both on the mend. Coming up, we're going to talk to the person who runs the building that we're in next hour. We're going to talk to the people who manage the Bonsa Coors Wellness Arena. We're also going to talk to another member of the Swamp Rabbits front office as we get ready for puck drop tonight between the Swamp Rabbits and the Jacksonville Icemen. And, of course, continuing our look at both South Carolina and Clemson this week, what is so different about this Louisville team from a year ago? It's down to one person with the change made at coach, and what have they done to at least warrant the kind of looks over the course of this season from the ACC pundits? We'll talk about that from Clemson's perspective next. Willie P and Diesel continuing from Bonsa Coors Wellness Arena on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.